Good evening, class.
Good evening.
Now, we have been studying the days of the week. You know the days of the week, but let's say them. All right, together. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
You are listening to an English class for adults in Kansas City, Missouri, where the people act. The People Act. These are true stories, tape recorded in communities across the nation, where people are working together to build a better future. The People Act is presented by the Television Radio Workshop, established by the Ford Foundation, and produced by the CBS Radio Network. Every voice and sound is real. No actors are used. Now here again is your narrator, the noted reporter, Robert Trout. This is the story of a struggle. The struggle of a group of immigrants to get better houses, better schools, better jobs, to be useful citizens, and of a river that happened to get in their way. We don't know whether you've heard of these people or of their struggle, but the outcome is important to all of us. If they fail, all of us fail. This is the tape-recorded story of the people who make up the Mexican colony of Kansas City, Missouri. The Mexican colony of Kansas City, Missouri. Americans of Mexican descent. A pretty girl sings an old country song. People sing despite the factories, the packing houses, and the rail yards that crowd in on their homes. But you didn't hear singing one day last July. You heard something else.
These people are suffering, and you can certainly understand it when you take a look from our DC-3 aircraft down upon this immense area which is underwater. You just can't believe how disastrous this can be.
July 11th, 1951, the Missouri River in flood, pouring through the dikes, into the streets, into the houses, large parts of Kansas City under the rushing black floodwaters. Esther Hernandez saw her house being swept away.
My house over there wasn't a very expensive kind, but it was a home, and it was all mine. I didn't owe any money on it. I didn't even know my tax on it. That's what really hurts, because now I don't have anything.
A house washed away, the labor of a lifetime lost, tragedy for all the people of the whole area. And to the Americans of Mexican descent, those who lost their homes and those who were unharmed, it was a double tragedy. They saw 30 years of progress washing away in the floodwaters. As they surveyed the damage in the city and across the river, they felt themselves set back to the Kansas City they came to as ragged immigrants 30 years ago. Let Dr. Nicholas Jaime tell you what that Kansas City was like.
They lived like pigs, and we had as many as 22 and 23 people living in a house with three or four bedrooms, and no ventilation whatsoever, and those were the only places that the Mexicans could rent.
It was hard for the people of the colony 30 years ago. They couldn't get decent houses. They couldn't get decent jobs. They couldn't do even simple everyday things like other people. Henry Hernandez told us what it was like.
When I first came into Kansas City, things were so bad that is for our people that even when it came to buying groceries, or going to a movie, our children were not allowed in it. I myself was many a time refused, just for the simple reason that I was of Mexican descent.
They had a bad time trying to live in Kansas City. And when they wanted to make things better for their kids, when they sent them to school to be educated, the kids had a bad time too. Salvatore Gutierrez told us what happened to him.
I can remember back when I first started there, that as I was walking to the school, some of the other children that didn't like our nationality, the boys and girls of Mexican descent, they used to throw rocks at us, and they did everything possible to discourage us from going to school and getting ourselves an education.
That was the Kansas City the Mexicans came to 30 years ago. It was a miserable place to live, and the people knew it. But could they do anything about it? Most of them thought not. What could anybody do where conditions were so hopeless, where problems were so overwhelming? But a few of them got hold of an idea, and they went through the colony preaching it. If we get together, if we work together, we can improve our lot. They called a meeting to talk about it, and only six people showed up. Dr. Nicholas Jaime told them just how tough the job ahead of them was going to be.
We must have in mind all the failures that we have had and the opposition that we had, the lack of cooperation among our people and among the churches and among the city authorities. So I believe it is going to be a rather an uphill fight. So if we really here want to organize something worthwhile, we have to put our body and soul into it. And all of us here get together with one love, you might say, and with one idea, we might succeed in carrying this through, and possibly in the future we'll be glad that we came here and got together tonight.
A meeting, a few speeches. It was a start, nothing more. And right away they ran into a familiar stumbling block. People laughed at them, said they were wasting their time.
You're crazy. You can't get the people to work together.
What made it even tougher for them was that the few who could help, the few in the colony who were doing all right, wouldn't have anything to do with them.
I got mine. I can't help how the others get along.
In spite of the opposition and the apathy, they pushed ahead. Other groups were organized. The Mexican-American Neighborhood Council, the Ralph C. Puentes American Legion Post. They were ready to tackle some of their problems. They didn't have to look far for the first one. It was with them at all their early meetings.
Now, for the benefit of the members of the council that are not too familiar with English, I'm going to try to tell in Spanish what we have been discussing here up to now. Señores y señoras, ahora les voy a decir...
They had to learn English. They had to be able to speak the language of their community. So they got together and started classes.
Good evening, class.
Good evening.
How are you, Hector?
I'm fine, thanks.
Did you work hard today?
No, I worked tonight.
You go to work tonight? Yeah. All right, tell me that over again. Say that again. I go.
I am going.
To work?
To work.
Tonight.
Step number one, learn English. But only the first step. It didn't open up jobs or get playgrounds or build houses. For that, they needed help from the city. And the city didn't seem to know they existed, except around election time. Listen to D.G. Arredondo.
The big man those days was the precinct captain for the party, who used to go around to the various of our houses and ask us on election day to vote his way, to which, of course, being that he brought us the things that we need, well, we generally agreed with him, and not only agreed with him, but we did what he said. The politicians made a lot of promises, but that's all we got, just the promises, nothing else.
Just the promises, and sometimes a basket of food on election day. But they learned their lesson. Step number two, get out the vote, exert your influence at the polls, and eventually put up your own candidates. They did. Henry Hernandez was the first, and he spoke the language of politicians everywhere.
I'm very proud to say, and very grateful, not only to the people of the area, but to the people as a whole, that I was highly honored by being put on a ballot. I was defeated, but I'm very proud of the fact that it showed the way and maybe opened the way for future men of our descent to follow up.
They voted, they ran for office, and they accepted their other responsibilities as citizens. They grew up as members of the community. They found that acting together, they could get things done. When 52 of their houses were going to be wrecked to build a new highway, they sent a delegation headed by Melatone Gutierrez to see the city manager, L.P. Cookingham.
Mr. Cookingham, I am presenting myself here as the president of the Mexican-American Neighborhood Council.
Yes, sir, Mr. Gutierrez. What is the problem?
We understand that 52 families will be put out of their homes in order to carry on with this traffic way. We are wondering if it could not be possible to take a strip of the park and run the traffic way through instead of having to knock these houses down.
Well, I'm glad you came up with a problem at this time. I have not been out on the ground myself to look at the situation, but I shall do so immediately, and if there's any possibility of moving the roadway over to the east, I certainly will be in favor of it.
They'd been to City Hall before, and they'd talked to other city officials. They'd heard promises before. Would this be just another empty political promise? A few days later, Mr. Cookingham delivered his answer in person.
I'm glad to report to you that after conferring with the city council on the matter, we have received their permission to shift the traffic way about 80 feet easterly, which will mean that the 52 homes of your people who were to be taken will not have to be taken.
A big step. Successful community action. Successful because they were working together as a group. But other big steps remain. A community growing up puts its hope on the future. What about their kids? How are they getting along? They were getting along, all right, in the pool halls, the only playground most of the kids in the colony had. They had no other place to go, no other place to play. The result? They were getting into trouble, like these boys planning to tip over a police car.
Well, we were down at the corner with a bunch of the guys and mind our own business. Cops pulled up and chased us away. They caught up with me and beat me up.
Tell what we do. We'll wait till Friday night and get a whole bunch of the guys. We'll meet down on 5th Street. By 11 o'clock, we'll call the cops down there and they give them a rough time to turn the car over.
Next step, do something about their kids. They did something. They saw that they needed a place to play, a park, a playground. So they went to work on it. They held meetings. They talked on street corners. They buttonholed city officials. And they got results. Gage Park, a place for their kids to play like other kids. At the dedication ceremony, ex-Mayor John B. Gage reminded them what they had achieved, what their working together meant.
Time and again, I've heard discussed the problem of locating a playground, for instance, in this area, or a park, improving the environmental surroundings. But there's been no well-organized group action of the people themselves back of it. Naturally, those who have the authority to initiate things like that want to know first, did those whom these improvements will most affect desire it, and will they take care of it? And now I can see in your group here the answer to that question.
The answer was yes. They wanted a park. They would take good care of it. How about the kids? Well, for the first time, they had a good place to play, and they played football, for example.
All right, we'll make a sweep play this time around the end. Around your end, buddy.
You block. Block that guy right there. Who
are you going to block?
Wesley.
I got him.
And block Louie, too. Come
on. For the first time, it didn't matter where the kids came from or what their accent happened to be. It didn't matter where their parents came from. During the football game, William H. Douth, the director of Gage Park, told us about them.
This is a spontaneous group. We have these every night down here. And the boys pair off in different age groups and different sizes. We have the Mexican boys, we have Negro boys, and we have the Anglo boys. And they go on there with very little direction from my part.
They were building for the future, but they were beginning to see results in the present. Their kids were growing up free and happy, and to the people of the colony, that was the biggest accomplishment. Mrs. Harry Rodarte knew what it meant one afternoon when she looked out her kitchen window and saw her two boys and their friends, kids of every background, coming home from school.
When they came home, I was so happy because there were children from all directions. Children jumping over the fence and through the gate and just from every direction they had come to wait for the boys to change their clothes to go out and play football. And I thought, oh, if grown-ups could study children, there's so much that they could learn.
There was so much adults could learn. And they were learning, outside the colony as well as inside.
Take Police Chief Henry W. Johnson. He saw the community solving one of his worst problems for him.
Well, the Gage Park and the Guadalupe Center are a tremendous help in reducing juvenile delinquency because these young people have to have a place where they can let off steam and with the recreational facilities that are being provided in the area certainly have been helpful in curbing any juvenile problems.
The barriers were breaking down. The old prejudices about the colony were dying. It was easier for the kids and for the adults, too. It was easier for the adults, for instance, to get jobs they'd been barred from in the old days. Some of them, like Ralph Vera, were going into business for themselves.
I got my own business started in June of 49. That is, the wife and I, we kind of pooled our resources together and went in business for myself. And for a few months there, I thought I was going to have to go back to work. But the way it's panned out, it looks pretty bright for me, I think.
They were solving problems, tough ones, even the toughest one of all, how to get along with their neighbors. They were overcoming suspicion and misunderstanding. They were being accepted and accepting. Listen to what happened to the Rodartes when they moved into a new neighborhood.
When we'd go out to catch the bus, the neighbors, we'd see so many noses around the window, and we thought, I'd tell my husband, oh, we're really giving our neighbors a treat. Anyway, their curiosity, I think, was overcome when we went to Mass, and they saw that we could kneel, and we could make the sign of the cross, and that we could do things like any other human being. So after that, it was just a matter of, I guess, who we were, and then they were quite nice and friendly. They realized that we really weren't cannibals after all, but we were civilized, so they came halfway and spoke, and we went the other half and spoke, and I don't know where I could have better neighbors than I've had here.
Progress, step by step. They hadn't won the fight. They hadn't solved all their problems, but they were beginning to solve them. And then the river cut loose.
These people are suffering, and you can certainly understand it when you take a look from our DC-3 aircraft down upon this immense area which is underwater.
The Great Kansas Flood. Houses washed away, life savings gone. But more than that, it was a test. Whether the things they had built, the things they had worked for 30 years, would wash away with the houses and the furniture. How would they react? As a community? Or would it be every man for himself? Part of the answer came from a flood victim, Esther Hernandez.
Well, if you ever know what it feels like not to have a home and be welcoming somebody that, for instance, this man where we're staying, I had never seen him before in my life. And he was nice enough to take us in and give us a home. And he don't complain. He's awfully nice about it. And there, I know a lot of families around here that took, like I tell you, a lot of families that they had never even met before in their lives, and they took them in.
They took them in. Those who were untouched by the flood shared their homes with the people of the area whose homes had washed away. Sister Frances of the Guadalupe Center Settlement House was surprised.
Truly, to me, it was an eye-opener and amazing thing to see the way the people in this neighborhood took in the families that were in the flood. Many of these homes had 20 and 30 people living in them, and they're all fairly small homes. Some of them were absolute strangers to them. Many of them, of course, were relatives. But they all, with a terrific generosity, opened up their doors to harbor those who were in the flood.
It wasn't just a matter of taking people in, giving them a place to sleep and feeding them. In the backwash of the flood, they got together to help the victims rebuild. They began with the practical job of raising money, and they knew how to do it. They worked through their organizations. They planned a benefit fiesta.
We have had an uphill fight in getting this thing ready for various reasons. But we're still going to have a very nice, typical Mexican fiesta. And we wish the cooperation of all people because we want to raise as much money as possible to help this flood victims.
They worked together, the whole community. They found an auditorium. They sold tickets. They worked out acts. And they had their fiesta. They had a wonderful fiesta. A pretty girl in a bright costume did a Spanish dance. A trio sang a song about old Mexico. And a very funny fellow, a sort of Mexican Danny Kaye, sang a song called She in Mexican Ella. And, of course, somebody had to sing Rancho Grande.
Allá en el Rancho Grande, allá donde viví.
There was one serious moment. Mayor Kemp made a speech and paid the people in the colony a compliment, made it clear that they had built an important place for themselves in the community.
The Neighborhood Council program typifies the philosophy of this present city government in its attempt to call into play fundamental democratic processes. The old methods of political manipulation and maneuvering are here replaced by something approaching the New England town meeting idea. The Mexican-American Neighborhood Council is now experiencing this democratic relationship with our city government. We hope they have found us the same good citizens we know them to be.
A fiesta on the west side of Kansas City, Missouri. A fiesta to help each other. Take a look at them, these Americans of Mexican descent. They don't have an easy future. They've been hard hit by the flood. But they've learned something, something no flood can wash away. They have learned to work together. They're working together now to beat the flood, to improve their lives. Do you think they're going to succeed? It's an important question. For if they fail, these Americans, we all fail. Because the things they want, the things they want to become, are the things we all want. Listen to Dr. Nicholas Hyme.
All we want is the benefit of the neighborhood, and not only the benefit of the neighborhood, but as the biggest thing that we want to do is to make a greater Kansas City. And as long as we are going to live here, there is nothing that is going to stop us because we are part of Kansas City. And we have as many obligations as any other resident of Kansas City, whether we have a Mexican descent or whether we have a German descent or whatnot. All of us should be considered as Kansas Citians and as American citizens.
You have just heard The People Act, narrated by Robert Trout, a documentary series presented by the Television Radio Workshop established by the Ford Foundation and produced by the CBS Radio Network. These programs are under the sponsorship of the National Committee for The People Act. Here is the committee's director, Elmore McKee.
The men and women in this story have shown the power of free people to solve their own problem. We do not suggest that the details of this story can be applied everywhere. But if you feel this story has a bearing upon a problem in your community and you would like to do something about it, won't you write us at the People Act Center, State College, Pennsylvania. Dr. Milton S. Eisenhower and his associates there will try to put you in touch with someone in your vicinity qualified to consult with you. And if you wish a script or a recording for use in your community or information about discussion groups, please write us at the People Act Center, State College, Pennsylvania.
The People Act is produced by Irving Gitlin. Fred Freed is writer-editor. Tape recordings for today's program were made in Kansas City, Missouri by reporter Dave Moore. Original music by Norman Lockwood, conducted by Alfredo Antonini. Join us again next week when the People Act in the Upper Winooski Valley of Vermont.